Well, we've got some more EVP sounds for you. We're also going to take your phone calls with our guest, Mr. Lou Gentile, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Lou, you've got to tell us the story about how you investigated devil worshipers around your area. I mean, that's pretty gutsy, my friend.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have to know what the enemy knows. And one of the dangers of this job is a lot of times I will have to penetrate or get inside of some of these organizations to see what's going on. So that if somebody comes to me and says, listen, I'm a devil worshiper, and I don't know how to get out of this, because a lot of them don't, because they're in it and their whole family's in it. And, you know, you have to really, you know, you have to just get in there and do your thing for a couple of weeks and get out, because it can be very dangerous. These people aren't anything to play around with. And I'm not talking about the different types of Satanism that's out there. I mean, there's many different forms of Satanism. But, you know, when it comes to devil worship, demon worshipers, things of that nature, I mean, these people are hardcore. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, they really don't like their people getting out. So I have to sometimes go in and do what I have to do. And I don't even really publicly state that too much, because that's something that you know, when I disappear for a couple of weeks on end, you know, you kind of have an idea of what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we may have crashed your website, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
But,
thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure. We're gonna take calls. We're going to listen to EVPs. Cut number 11, it's called, and it's actually pretty cool here. What's
yeah,
the story?
Yeah, this is a really weird one. I was, I had one of my callers, Lyle, on the air, and then I had Steve Barton from the Horror Channel on the air. And, I mean, sometimes during my show, we actually get some really weird stuff. During our Amityville Horror Week, we had all kinds of weird EVPs and things like that. But this one here kind of stuck out because, you know, when my mic's hot, I have a completely, you know, overpowering voice than everybody else. And this particular cut, you actually get to hear something that's just different over talking both of them saying, yeah, it's pretty cool, or something along those lines.
Okay, let's listen to it. Cut 11. Here we go.
I'll have to check it out. I heard Lou asking you about it.
Yeah, the other question I have, man, all you got to do is register for the forums, and that's it. We do everything else for you.
Now, let's play that one more time, Karis. Let's, because I heard that. here we go.
I'll have to check it out. I heard Lou asking you about it.
Yeah, the other question I have, man, all you got to do is register for the forums, and that's it. We do everything else for you.
All right, now that is weird. I mean, what are the possibilities of that being like you've captured somebody's CB radio or something like
that?
Yeah,
but I'm just trying to figure out. Apparently, whatever it is, honestly, George, must like the Horror Channel website or something. I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it was strange. And he sounded a little like Bugs Bunny.
It sounded like something, but nothing was present during that because, you know, I had these guys on for, I don't know, 10 minutes or something. And they were just talking back and forth, and then that just appeared.
More incredible EVPs, but let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi there. How's it going tonight?
Great. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Hey, I was telling you, screener there, that me and my wife have run team. I'm over here in Missouri right now. My name's David. And we were going up to northern Vermont to pick up some paper. And we're going up through this little town, you know, like speed limit's like 15 miles an hour. And on the right was this cemetery. And it's right to the side. There's a wall, 3 foot tall. At that time, going through there, these two people were walking up, dressed on and everything. The guy was dressed in like 1800s, both of them. And I'm looking at him. I'm telling my wife, "You see that? We thought they were going to a party or something."
Yeah.
I pull over through the shoulder. I rolled down the window to look. They disappeared into the light. I mean, they just ended once they got to the end of the light. The window was down, and a voice said, "Good evening," and that was it.
Wow.
Lou, I'm sure you get a lot of those kinds of stories.
You know what's funny? That's a really cool call, because John Zaffis and I were doing a case in, of all places, Amity, PA. And we're driving down this guy's dirt road. It's about a quarter mile to his house. And all this, you know, John Zaffis is sitting in the front seat, and he's John's like looking as if watching somebody crossing the road. And I'm like, John, what are you doing? He's like, don't you see that guy? Is that the guy who we're going to see? I said, who? Who are you talking about? He's like, the guy that just walked in front of the road. And the next thing you know, the guy just like disappeared or whatever. And John's like, I just saw a guy walk in front of the thing, and nobody could figure out who it was. But John saw it. Nobody else did.
How about the people who are driving and they see the Grim Reaper standing at the side of the road?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen the Grim Reaper. Oh. I hope I don't. Because if I do, I'm running.
You don't want that. As a matter of fact, Friday night, Lou, during my open lines, a guy saw an old horse buggy hearse, and the guy got out of it. He couldn't see his face, and he said he pointed at me with his bony fingers. I mean, that's scary stuff.
Well, I'm exit stage left if that happens. Yeah. So. Yeah.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sarah from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Well, welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi. I have a really weird story to tell you. When my daughter was in college, this was 27 years ago, a famous women's college, I had to go there during her exam time and change her belongings from one dormitory to another because she said there was an entity in her room and it was a misty figure that was standing over by the door. And it would go over to her in her bed and try to choke her. And then she said she heard one night, she heard a crunching sound. And a plastic cup that was on her table had been chewed by this entity, and it was all jagged. You just never saw jagged like that. And also her mirror had part of the of a woman's body, the bottom part of the body, incised in the mirror.
You could see it like it was etched in there?
It was etched in the mirror. And I had to be there alone, moving her out of her room, and she had so many books and so many things, and I was scared to death.
Ever find out what happened in that room, Sarah?
Pardon me?
Ever find out what happened in that room?
Let me tell you first. I was afraid to handle the glass. I'm shaking now when I'm telling you this. I was afraid to handle the glass, but I did handle, and I threw it in the trash can outside in the hall, and also the mirror off the wall. I threw it, those in there. And then I told the house parents what had happened and that she had to move out of the room and into another dorm. And I said, if you want to see the proof of this, just go and look in that trash can and you'll see that glass and you'll see that mirror there. And another time when my daughter was back in that dorm for visiting somebody or something, there was a friend with her, and she said, oh, maybe I'll move back here sometime. And I don't know how she could ever have said that, but all of a sudden the room got cold and her friend turned pale as a ghost. And we found out that someone had committed suicide in that building, in that old dormitory. Had thrown herself down the stairs, unless something else threw her down the stairs. But this really happened.
So did anything ever happen to your daughter after that?
No.
No?
Well, luckily.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't follow her. But when we went to a reunion a couple years ago, I wouldn't go in that dorm, you know, to use the ladies' room or anything. I just, I
don't blame you.
I was so scared. And I just wouldn't go in there. And
did you ever think for a moment, Sarah, that initially it might have been your daughter doing these things, biting the furniture and maybe etching a picture into a mirror?
No.
You ruled that out right away.
No. She couldn't have done that. No.
Okay.
The way it was jagged, it was in all different levels, and. She couldn't have incised the mirror like that. Why would she have done that?
Lou, I hear a lot of mirror stories when it comes to hauntings. And Sarah, thanks for your call.
A lot of crystalmancy, which is basically what it is. You know, spirits are very. It seems as though a lot of your sightings of spirits show up on reflective surfaces, and that's because a lot of times spirits have that ability to do that the easiest. And when I say that, it's like, in other words, people take pictures and like maybe they have a reflective surface, and you have to watch out with spiritual photography. Because, you know, reflections can be dangerous. But a lot of times, some good paranormal photographs are taken while there's reflective surfaces. TVs, mirrors, you know, different things like that. And you will actually see the images of some of these individuals or entities, whatever you want to call them, in there because it's easiest for them to manifest. I have one of my most prized photographs is a demonic entity on a door. On an investigation that I did for the Warrens, and I can't really go into that too much, but for the most part, it's pretty incredible because you actually get to see the manifestation stages of this thing, and it was at the time the easiest way that it could manifest. Even though there was a lot of power to the case, it was the easiest way for this thing to manifest, which was on this door, and it was just pretty incredible because the door had nothing on it. It was just flat black.
Cuts number 1213 called Matthew Normal, Matthew Slow. Set the stage on this one.
Well, here's an EVP that I did. I was with the Horror Channel, and, you know, we're in the middle of the Horror Channel is like a brand-new TV network that's just getting off the ground. And, you know, they heard about my claims. I had the first time that I had went ahead and showed these guys EVPs and things like that were up at the Palladium in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting there and they said to me, it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They said to me, Lou, you know, you're claiming now that you can get EVPs anywhere at any time. I said, yeah. They said, well, how about we do them here? We're in the Meadowlands at the Sheraton for all places. It was a convention and they drug me out 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. We find this quiet area. I had about 10 to 15 people with me. We sat down, I put my recorder on, started asking questions. We started getting, you know, energy at first, which, you know, sometimes it takes a couple minutes for the energy to build up with the spirit before it starts actually saying something. And the next thing you know, we started getting names. And I go around to the different people and ask them to pose a non-threatening question. You know, you never ask for a display of power because that display of power could be a picture flying across the room in your head. So,
yeah.
This is basically what you're hearing. You're hearing one of the names that was uttered inside of me, you know, asking the questions to the spirits.
Okay, here we go. It's cut 12, the normal version. Here we go.
What is your name?
Play that one more time for us, Karis, and then we'll listen to it slow. But this is cut 12 again.
What is your name?
That was a quick. Who was the first? What was the first voice on that?
That was one of the people that was posing a question. That wasn't mine.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to cut 13 then. Here it is slower.
What's your name?
That you could hear much better. Mm-hmm. One more time, Karis.
What's your name?
Sounds like Matthew. That's what it sounds like.
You got it. That's it. See, it's interesting because, yeah, you know, some people, it's kind of like the shag rug theory that the psychologists use, and they say, oh, well, you know, you can pick out Charlie Brown's face in a shag rug. With EVPs, it's a little bit different because sometimes they're just so prominent that where are these things coming from? You know, I mean, where is the English language coming from? The interesting thing is, if you were in China or if you were, you know, in another language country and you were doing EVPs, more than likely the person who is getting EVPs is going to get them in that language. And that's an interesting fact.
That's a good point. West of the Rockies, you're up with us with Lou Gentile. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yes, I have a bit of a question. I had kind of a strange experience when I was sort of a teenager. I had sort of similar experiences to the gentleman, not quite as dramatic, though. And I awoke one night in the middle of the night, and I almost felt like part of my face was sort of very, very cold and almost like paralyzed. I couldn't quite open my eye on one side of the face, and I kind of forced myself, willed myself to do it, and I opened my eye up, and I almost felt this like bat's wing or shadow across my face. And I just, you know, and the bed was slightly shaking too. This happened like a few times over and over again, just kind of around in adolescence. And I'm just wondering, it sort of went away as I grew older, and I almost seemed to sort of grow out of it. And I'm just wondering if I sometimes now sort of feel negative, like sort of energy in my life. I'm sort of in an alternate healthcare profession, and I sometimes feel these, like, sort of, you know, the presence of negative energy and stuff. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do to sort of, you know, avoid it or rid it from my life or something.
Well,
like that.
First of all, you got to decide, I guess, and ascertain just what it is. And Lou, don't you also have to check medically when you hear things like that? You know, maybe he was being paralyzed or he had a stroke at a young age.
Yeah, it's very well possible. I mean, you know, you can't say that everything's paranormal, but
right, of course.
You know, a lot of times people know their experiences, and I'm not saying that every single thing that, you know, people are talking about with sleep paralysis and things along those lines is actually true. But there are documented cases, and I did one for the Learning Channel, that it just goes unexplained. A lot of times with phantomania, which is basically what sleep paralysis is, you have a spirit that comes, it tries to suck in your energy because that's all it's trying to get. That's all it has to manifest. And by you giving it recognition, you go ahead and make it more powerful. There's times when I get attacked that I am completely paralyzed and I literally have to pray to God, my God, in order to break free. But see, one thing a lot of people fail to realize is that it's not just something that you have to do once or twice. You have to keep doing it over and over and over again in order for it to break. So the best thing to do in a situation like that is to just don't give it any recognition, and whatever God you happen to do, whatever energy you happen to subscribe to, ask that energy to let it go away.
Okay,
and
great. I just have one last question. I also own a building that's very old. It's almost 100 years old, and a lot of times I'm there by myself and things. So how do I kind of sort of keep these? I haven't had any bad experiences, but, you know, I don't want you in the future. So I guess how do I sort of keep the door closed on those types of things? Well, at the same time, I also sometimes feel, like I said, I'm in an alternate healthcare profession, and I sometimes feel the presence sort of something like negativity coming, you know.
Well, you know. See, the feeling, the whole thing with feeling is you don't really have any kind of backing to back it up. You don't have anything to support the claim except your
right.
personal feeling. With old historical places, there's no remedies for that. It's my opinion and my belief that human spirits cannot be exercised, and that's because we have free will. So if you try to block out, you know, regular human spirits from haunting or from residing in that particular area, good luck to you, because I've never seen it work. It'd be like trying to perform an exorcism or some kind of a binding whereby the spirits inside of a cemetery won't return. It just isn't going to happen. But if you think that something negative is there, you need some kind of proof, some kind of physical proof, and I'll probably get into that in a little bit.
And some priests sometimes say have blessed salt or oil or water all over the place. Does that work?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, my priest told me to go run around and put, you know, blessed salt and oil and water around. You know, the interesting thing with that is it doesn't work if you don't believe that it's going to work. If you don't have faith that that's going to work, it won't happen.
We'll come back with final phone calls with our guest Lou Gentile and also the mother of all EVPs just ahead on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, pick up the After Dark newsletter and you'll get 14 issues for the price of 12, which is a pretty good deal. How do you do that? Well, there's a toll-free number, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online. That is very safe and secure at coasttocoastam.com. Now, when we come back, we'll listen to another major EVP sound and continue our discussion with Lou and also take your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our guest Lou Gentile. Lou, have you ever witnessed levitation or telekinesis on any of these events?
Oh, yeah. witnessed a lot of that. And like I was telling you earlier about a lot of your reality changing. When you walk into a home, matter of fact, it was a couple years ago that I had a case that I was doing for In Search Of. And this guy's house, this guy was a big biker, and he was talking about how he couldn't fight something that he can't see. And, I mean, the guy would literally just huddle up in the corner and just start crying. I saw this guy, and this is probably one memorable moment, but I saw this guy go from a sitting position in his chair with a researcher of mine next to him to flying up out of the chair, slam his back into the refrigerator, and then back down on the ground again. Now, I've seen similar things like that. I've seen rakes in midair flying. I've seen knives and different things like that fall or, you know, fly across the room, whatever people want to say. But the interesting thing about that one that stuck out is that even though I saw the guy fly up in the air, which there was no way he could have trajected himself by using his feet because he was in a sitting position when he flew up out and hit the refrigerator, the researcher was sitting right next to him, sat there and said to himself, okay, how did this happen? And he was a skeptic, but at the same time, he believed that what happened was some sort of paranormal event when he was there. Days later, he convinced himself that there was absolutely no way that that man could have done that and had to somehow he turned himself into a human projectile sitting in that position, flying up, hitting the refrigerator. So, I mean, when you see things like that, our brains naturally go into critical thinking, logic, and everything else. But you have to understand, once you see this enough times, you throw all that out the window. I mean, you can, for certain instances, say, okay, well, you know, it is possible that this may happen. And, you know, that goes on one level. But when you see something that physically, there's just no way that you can explain, that goes up on the top level. And you have to train yourself because our minds think the way that everything has to be logic and everything has to fit into its nice little place in the universe. But a lot of times that doesn't happen.
And that's true. First time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Eric from Van Nuys.
Hello, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually a sensitive, and I was at an abandoned hospital in Boyle Heights, California, and I felt that something needed my help, so I said, how could I help you with my tape recorder, and thought nothing of it, went and explored the hospital. Anyways, when I played the tape recorder back, the part where I said, how could I help you, I heard a little girl say, help me. And also in the hospital, I heard a voice say, look out, you're lost, kids. And I brought the tape home to listen to it. I don't know if this has anything to do with it. I feel guilty about it, but my healthy 5-year-old collie died within the month. And also I obviously had the tape recorder in the car. And until I got rid of the tape, I felt that there was a presence in my car. I went to have a psychic check it out, and they said it wasn't negative, but it definitely felt negative. And I was, I guess the main question I felt that I want to ask is, do you think my dog's death could have had anything to do with the tape that I had?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to look at that way. I mean, you know, when we experience these things, unless you're getting directly attacked or you're helping somebody out on a case, you know, a lot of times you're not really a target and there's no purpose for you to have any kind of repercussions. You know, things, it's just weird how this stuff works. Sometimes, you know, just how, as chance holds it, a lot of times we just sit there and have to have these things happen. It's just a part of life, and it's an unfortunate thing. But other times, you know, we try to blame other things like the paranormal on, you know, coincidence or chance or whatever that may be. It's interesting that you got those EVPs. I mean, you know, a lot of psychics, you know, they go on investigations and they get electronic voice phenomena and they don't know how to interpret it or they don't want to interpret it a lot of times. But, you know, I mean, to say that something like that was caused from something negative, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry that you lost your dog, but I personally wouldn't say that it was a direct result of what you were doing.
Right. Do you think the energy from the tape, because I've heard that the tape can have residual energy, do you think that could have been the cause for feeling like there was a presence in my car? Do you think that was...
Well, any time that you give recognition to these things, yeah, I mean, it's possible that things could happen. By me tonight going on this program and talking about some of these bad cases, I can guarantee you that I'm going to start getting phone calls from some of my clients that these cases were on, saying that things sparked back up. But you know what? The reality is that if the information does not get out there, people won't know that it exists and it won't help other people. And a lot of my clients realize that. Well, almost all of them realize that. And that's why a lot of them authorized me to do that. So when you say, is there any energy that could be left on tapes or anything, it's the recognition factor. If you give it recognition, you play a tape or something like that, sure, anything's possible.
Did you see the movie White Noise, Lou? What'd you think of it if you did?
I thought it was good, but I think that it more fell along the lines of instrumental transcommunication than anything else.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was a little disappointed from the electronic voice phenomena aspect, but, you know, I think that for the most part it was a good movie.
One scary scene for me is when you kind of saw the shadows of the beings in the television set.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, yeah.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Wendy. How are you?
Fine. Wendy, where are you?
I live in Afton. I'm a truck driver, and you guys keep me awake.
Well, good to have you with us. Go ahead, dear.
I've lived in Afton since I was about 5 years old, and when I woke up one morning, I seen an entity or something standing at the foot of my bed. Well, ever since then, I started getting premonitions and stuff like that. Well, apparently, I don't know if there's a ghost or whatever that's in the house, because whenever my daughter or myself are alone in the house, we'll hear something call our name out. It'll bang on the door. It'll turn around and slam doors and stuff like that. I've had it to where it would move, hide my keys on me to where I couldn't find them for 2 or 3 weeks. And I was just wondering if there's something I can do to get rid of it.
Well, recognition is the big thing. If you give it recognition, it's going to wind up coming back. But I'm not telling you to live with it. There's a lot of researchers out there to say, live with the spirit. They're all nice and friendly. If it starts to get out of control, you know, you can call me and I can see what we can do off the air. But, I mean, for right now, just not giving it recognition is probably the best bet, and to see where it goes. Because once you start giving it recognition and giving it what it wants, it's going to feed off your energy. Your heart's pumping. You're creating energy. You're feeding it right up. And the next thing you know, you're going to have things that are going to start to happen that are more than the activity that's going on now.
Do you find these spirits or entities, Lou, get more violent as they progress?
Usually that's how it works. You go from, and more than likely what happens is that the women on that particular investigation or case wind up being the person who experiences the phenomena first. And it's my belief that because they have the gift of life and they have these different frequencies, that they're actually able to pick up on these things. And that's how the case starts, is the woman usually recognizes it. The man, he doesn't care. He's going to work. He's a psychic hairball anyway. We half the time, we don't know what's going on. But over a period of time, depending upon the person and the investigation, because every case is different, things will accelerate and things will get worse until the point where people say, you know what, I don't know what to do anymore. I can't fight something that I can't see.
All right, tell us about Cut 14. Jennifer Matthew, full session.
Well, this is the same thing. This was the same night that we were at the Meadowlands at the Sheraton, and I was up on the second floor, and I sat there and I was doing the EVPs, and we started getting these names, and it just started appearing, and there it was. It was just Jennifer Matthews, and you know, we were right by a swimming pool. So, is it possible that it could have been maybe some kids who drowned there? Could have been just spirits that were around at the time. Who knows? But all I know is that it just says Jennifer Matthews on it.
Here we go with Cut 14.
Beginning of EVP number 9. I'm going to ask you again, and we're going to go around the room. What is your name? What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name? What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name? What is your name?
End of EVP.
Play that again, Karis. One more time.
Beginning of EVP number 9. I'm going to ask you again, and we're going to go around the room. What is your name? What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your name? What is your name? What is your name?
End of EVP.
Now tell me about that, Lou. What were we listening to with all those what is your names?
Well, what you do is, and what I do is that, you know, like I said, I sit there in complete silence, and I'll sometimes have people go around and ask questions. Sometimes I'll have them ask the same question because I know it can aggravate the spirit, and they'll wind up coming through stronger. So what you're hearing is that you're hearing the spirit trying to come through saying that it's either Jennifer Matthews or its last name is Matthews or Matthew or whatever it is, but it's clearly stating on multiple instances Matthews or Matthew or Jennifer.
Let's listen to clip 15, which is just the Jennifer Matthew clip portion. Clip 15. Tough to listen to one more time. You could tell, though, whatever it is, it's trying to be heard. It's trying to get out there.
George, I got to tell you, and I can't stress this enough. You know, even though I may have the ability, why, who knows, to get EVPs all the time when I go out, I really do think that this Panasonic RRDR60 is the bridge which communication is made between the spiritual world and this world. For some reason, this particular recorder has the technology, maybe it's the elements inside of it, I don't know, that is able to communicate. I think that if it's tuned properly, that you can actually have spiritual communication that is two-way, that sounds like you and I are talking on the phone right now.
Is that digital or tape?
That's digital.
All digital. So that makes a difference, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I just had a question for your guest.
Sure.
A while back, you had a demonologist that was on Coast to Coast. I don't remember who it was or when, but I had gone to bed listening to it on headphones. And I wasn't really that frightened, so I had my lights off, and I was laying on my bed listening, and my cat was laying next to me, and she's normally a pretty tame animal. And in the middle of him, he started playing a recording of an exorcism, and the cat totally freaked out. She jumped up and ran up to my head where there's a window. And she started growling and hissing, and her fur was standing up on end, which made me freak out. So I sat up, and I wasn't going to move because I was thinking she's just gone crazy. Mm-hmm. And she runs to the foot of my bed after I sit up and starts growling at my halfway open door. My door is open a little bit and starts growling and hissing. And so I finally fling off the headphones and turned on my light and opened up my door real fast, moved open my door, and nothing was there. I mean, it was just dark because it was my living room. But I was wondering, is there any consequences to people listening to this sort of stuff?
Yeah, you know, animals are very, very sensitive to this. I mean, especially cats and dogs. I mean, cats do some crazy things at night. We all know that. But there are some times when they freak out when you hear things. You know, if you have a haunting and you're listening to this, this is something that, you know, probably should be almost like a disclaimer. If you think that you have a haunting or whatever, you really should not, you know, get into these EVPs. It's okay to hear these, I'm going to say, because you have to know that it exists. But I wouldn't dwell on it and keep listening to it, because if you have a haunting, it may actually spark things up.
All right, great. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Go ahead, dear.
Hi. I was calling because early in the show, Lou mentioned that he saw a black creature trying to get into his house.
Yes.
And, well, I had a similar instance. Well, I was stalked by a creature, and I was kind of wondering, did this creature you saw have glowing red eyes?
It didn't have any glowing things to it whatsoever. It was just, it looked, honestly, it looked like a guy in a black Spider-Man outfit.
Oh. Okay. Can I ask another question?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, in any case, when I was little, I asked my parents about this, and they just told me when I saw that, that meant I was too tired and I needed to fall asleep. So I'd go and sleep, and I believed them. But one time my friend saw it, and he never talked to me again after that. It scared him. Mm-hmm. So I decided I wanted to hunt it, and I went after it with a bow and arrow. And, of course, I never caught it, but it was definitely real. But I was just wondering if you had any idea of what it could have been, if it could have been a demon or something along those lines.
Well, demonic entities appearing in front of people for no reason, there's usually a reason for these things to appear and to keep bothering you. You know, turning into the demon hunter, you know, it's not exactly a good idea. They used to call me Lou the Ghost Tackler until I learned very, very, you know, early on in this field, you don't try and tackle or run after anything, because the repercussions of that is that it could wind up tackling you. So if it's something that's bothering you, you know, get a hold of me or John Zaffis or whatever. I mean, it's something that, you know, you just don't know until, honestly, it's too late. Of what exactly it is.
Lou, what's on your plate next? What are you up to these days?
Well, I mean, I got the challenge thing going on. I got investigations and everything else. You know, I mean, that's basically, I'm just doing my own little thing.
Did I read your bio correctly? You've also got a full-time job during the daytime?
Yeah, I know. I'm Mr. Multitasker.
when do you sleep?
I don't know, George. I really don't know. I'm trying to figure that out myself. I got to go to work in 2 hours, so, you know, I mean,
oh my gosh.
What are you going to do? But,
well,
you know, I mean, I do this to help people. That's how it is. I don't do this for money and fame, but, you know, I'm trying to show the world with the Million Dollar Paranormal Challenge that, look, the skeptics, that's fine to have them, but they're dead wrong on this because, like I said, there's more to reality than the physical world we see. I'm out to prove that. Can I tell people how they get in contact with me?
Yep, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Just give me a call, 215-852-5780, or go to lougentilly.com, or you can go to horrorchannel.com, which they're affiliated with me as well. And shout out to my brother John, who's going to be in a movie, The System Within. So
I love it.
I had to say that.
Okay, Lou, you take care of yourself.
All right, thanks, George. It was a pleasure.
Okay, my friend. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDessour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.